Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 11, reading now in Jesus' name. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Here ends the reading of the gospel.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. We pray that you would sanctify us in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure all of us have experienced a bad day from time to time. Maybe you've had a bad day at work. Maybe you're having a bad day at work today. As you struggle through things that usually seem routine. Maybe you've had a bad day or a bad week in your personal life or in your family life. Maybe the struggle has been going on for a while. It's really easy for us to be burdened by life, burdened by even those things that we think are so important. We can easily be overwhelmed and burdened by our everythings. We see that Peter, in our passage today, was having one of those days. He and his partners, they had been fishing, it says, all night, and they hadn't caught anything. And for a fisherman, that's a bad day to spend your whole night pursuing these fish that just don't seem to be there. And then on top of that, sometimes when we have those bad days, that's not the time to ask us for a favor, to do something extra. It says that Peter and his companions, they were still finishing up the day. It says that they were washing their nets, that they had given up for the day, that they were just cleaning everything off and waiting till the next day. And it's at that moment that Jesus came. And Jesus came and he asked these fishermen who had just had a rough day, who hadn't caught anything, he asked them, "Can I borrow your boat for a minute?" And that would be kind of frustrating for us, that we had just spent all day working, and they had cleaned stuff off too. They had probably, put them up at the dock or however they did it in those days. And Jesus asked, "Well, can we go back out for a while?" And so Peter says, "Fine, Master, we'll do that." And so he lets Jesus use his boat, and Jesus went out a little way from shore. In those days, they didn't have microphones, so Jesus went out on the lake a little bit, and that helps to project your voice. And so Jesus went out, and he taught the people from this boat for a while. And then when he was done, and it doesn't tell us how long Jesus preached, probably will be a lot longer than I'll preach this morning. But after Jesus was done, he told Peter, he said, "Well, now let's go out to the middle of the lake and let's put the nets down." And I'm sure Peter was frustrated at this point. After all, they had just spent all night trying to catch fish. Maybe Jesus wasn't even pointing them in the right place. Maybe the middle of the lake is not the place you want to go. But that's what Jesus said. He said, "Let's go to the deep water Let's put down the nets and let's catch some fish. And Peter reluctantly agreed. He said, fine, because you say so, I'll do it. He didn't really want to do it. He didn't think anything would come of it, but he did it. But Peter, at this point, he obeyed Jesus, but he did so with sort of uninspired compliance. He was like, okay, Jesus, I'll do it to sort of humor you. I'll go along with what you say. I'm not really into it, but we'll do it. We'll do it your way. And sometimes in life, we can do that as well. Maybe we obey Jesus in part. Maybe sometimes we do things. Maybe we're like, okay, Jesus, fine. I'll go to church this morning. I'll do it because you say so. Fine, Jesus, I'll help this person out, but I don't really want to, but I'll do it just because you said so. But we really sometimes don't expect anything to come of it. We just go through the motions. We, too, are living our lives with uninspired compliance. But it says that when they went out to the middle of the lake and they put down the nets, that they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And not only were they unable to haul it all in themselves, they had to call for others. And the others came out, who happened to be John and James, we're told. Imagine that, you know, if you could go back in time and you're meeting these fishermen and you're like, hey, you're Peter. Hey, you're John, you're James. You know, and they're like, yeah, so what? You know? At this time, they were so what's. They were simply three fishermen who were working hard to try to make a living. They had no idea that day would change the rest of their lives. Two of these disciples would eventually give their own lives for Jesus. Peter, we're told, was crucified at the end of his life. James would be the first disciple to die for his faith early on in Jerusalem as the leaders wanted to make an example of the early Christians. James was the first to die. John, however, would be the only disciple that tradition tells us died a natural death. He would live to be almost 100 years old, tradition teaches, and went on to teach a great many of his own disciples, some of whose writings exist to this day. John would share in his fair share of hardships, however, being imprisoned and exiled on an island. Tradition says John was exiled on the island only after he was first thrown in boiling oil and survived unscathed. That's the tradition that comes to us from Tertullian, a second century Christian writer. He said that was the tradition that they had heard, that they tried to execute John but were unable to do so, and so simply sent him to an island to try to live out his days in exile. And it's on that island where John would see Jesus again as he was given the book of Revelation. But we see for these disciples that this would be a true time of epiphany. For the true value of things would be revealed to them in a way that they did not expect. As their boats began to sink with the great amount of fish, Peter realized that he was not in the company of a regular rabbi any longer. He didn't exactly know who Jesus was, but he began to see very clearly who he was, that he was a sinner, that he was a man who didn't deserve to see the goodness of God. And he falls to Jesus' feet in confession and says, go away from me, I'm a sinful man. And sometimes when we see our sin, we think that's the solution, that we just need to get away from God. Because truly, God is so great and we're so sinful that we just need to get away from Him so we don't feel so bad. But Jesus wanted something different from Peter, and he wants something different from us. When we see our sin, Jesus wants us to come to him, not to run away from him, to come to him in confession and find forgiveness and find healing. And that's what happened for Peter. Peter all of a sudden saw the true value of things. He saw Jesus for who he really was. And he saw himself as he really was. And it would completely change his life. Peter came to understand what Jesus taught the disciples in Matthew 15. When he said, "Anyone who wants to truly be my disciples must take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what they have done." Jesus was showing the disciples the true value of things. The things that they thought were everything, the things that they felt were such a burden earlier in the day, were really nothing. For Peter was given the very thing that he had worked so hard for, the catch of fish. He was willing to work all night for it. And when he finally got it, because he had seen who Jesus truly was, it says he left it all behind. Could you imagine getting everything that you worked so hard for, and the moment you get it, you realize it's not worth what you thought it was? That's what happened to Peter. He got everything that he had worked so hard for. But in the meantime, he had found something much greater. He found Jesus. And he left it all on the shore to go follow Jesus. I imagine there were a lot of happy people in town who probably had a lot of cheap fish that they could just go pick up off the shore once the fishermen left it all behind. Or I suppose James and John's father Zebedee had a lot of work to do. But people had seen something greater than what they were working for, and they were willing to leave it behind to follow the greater. And we see Jesus encouraging people to do that throughout his ministry, to really trade in their nothing for his everything. And really, no matter what we have on earth, without Christ, it's nothing. That's what Jesus says. What good is it if you gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? Even if you were to gain everything on earth, without Jesus, it comes to nothing. And yet, Jesus has also promised that on earth, those who have nothing but Jesus have everything. That there's nothing that they can't lose, because in Jesus they've been promised everything. And that's what happened to Peter that day. He began to see his everythings as nothing. And he began to see the no earthly promises of following Jesus as everything. So much so that later in life he'd be willing to give everything to follow Jesus, knowing that he was really losing nothing. Knowing that Jesus never disappoints, that Jesus never falls short like this world does. We see so many people in this world who work so hard to attain something. Maybe it's an athlete trying to be the best at his profession, or a movie star looking to gain fortune and fame, or a rock star seeking the same. We see so many of those people that when they attain the thing that they desperately wanted, find it to be empty and to not fulfill that desire, that need that they have. But Jesus never disappoints. If we fill our lives with Jesus, even if it costs us everything else, we'll find that in Christ we've been given everything. And that's what baptism is. Baptism is Jesus' call to trade in our nothing for his everything. Give up your life for my life. Bring your sin and leave with my righteousness. That's the call of Jesus. That's his call for each one today. To give up everything, which is really nothing at all, and gain his everything, which sometimes seems like nothing. Martin Luther said, baptism is the greatest gift we could ever be given, even though in appearance it's worth nothing more than a straw. He said, what good is it from an earthly perspective, you know, to pour some water on someone's head? And yet he says, because of the word, because of the promises of God, it's the greatest gift you could ever be given. What appears to be nothing is everything. And sometimes what appears to be everything is really nothing at all. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that in Christ we've been given everything. And Lord, help us to see that. Help us, Lord, to see your goodness and to see our sin. And help us, Lord, to respond by not running away from you or pushing you away, but that we would draw near to you, that we would receive your forgiveness, that we would receive your righteousness in place of our sin, that we would let you touch us and make us whole again. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we sin, that your desire isn't to push us away either, but to draw us to yourself. We pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see you for who you truly are, that we would see you in all your goodness, and Lord, that you would reveal to us who we are as well, that apart from you, we're sinful human beings deserving nothing but sin and death. But help us, Lord, to see the reality too, that in Christ we're righteous, we're holy, we're redeemed, that we're your beloved children. And help us, Lord, to live in the joy and the strength that those promises bring us, Lord. Help us to live every joy, or every day, Lord, not just in uninspired compliance, but in joyful obedience, Lord. Lord, make this possible through your Holy Spirit as we see more and more of you through your word. Reveal yourself to us, Lord, and help us to reveal you to others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.